Ed Kowalski.
Good morning, Thomas.
EA Workforce Solutions returns, and along with David Wise, Mackey Butts and Wise LLP. Good morning, David.
Good morning, Tom.
It's always great to have you guys come in and talk about it. Ed, I'm going to turn it right over to you to lead the conversation.
Sure. I mean, as I said, it's always nice to appear in public with my attorney at my side. So David will stop me should I not should I wander into territory I shouldn't be wandering into. Tom, as you've known, we've had conversations over the past year specifically in regards to just the ever-changing landscape of employment law. And certainly some of the things that Ethan Allen Workforce Solutions is involved in is trying to be able to help our clients guide through that ever-increasing murkiness in terms of what's going on.
Yes.
And we've relied very heavily on the expertise of David. And I just wanted to bring him on in this morning and talk about some of the things that are continuing to just impact, employers, not only in the Hudson Valley, but, of course, across the nation. You know, and the biggest thing that we're dealing with right now is, of course, the Department of Labor finally releasing their threshold levels for exempt, non-exempt,
yes,
for exempt level people. I mean, ultimately, at the end of the day, I think estimates on that, Dave, is going to increase or it's going to impact the economy by something like $12 billion in terms of the reclassification on that. So that's a major thing.
And they come out with these rules, regulations, people in, far off distant land, not understanding the realities of what happens right in our community and organizations. I happen to, head the personnel committee for a not-for-profit entity. Once you get into the specifics of employees and all of the other tentacles that go along with that, it is incredibly disruptive to an organization.
Tom, and it's interesting you mentioned the not-for-profits because the threshold increase for the exempt, non-exempt has basically doubled.
Yes.
So that under the former regulations, an individual was exempt from overtime if they met certain functional tests, but from a salary basis, the individual had to make $455 a week or more. That threshold has now been increased to $913
a week. $47,400 or something annual.
That's right. The estimate is that somewhere between 4.2 to 4.6 million employees will be affected by this. Affected from the standpoint that these employees formerly were exempt from overtime compensation,
right,
will now be included in the pool of being eligible for overtime. And I think one of the industries which will be most affected by this will be not-for-profits,
yes,
which historically don't have the same income stream as for-profits, and therefore they generally pay a little bit less, perhaps, than the for-profit industry. So a lot of individuals, I think, in the not-for-profit world who previously were exempt from overtime will now be eligible.
And Ed and David, we have talked in the past about the impacts of the Affordable Care Act, mm-hmm, and people being changed from full-time to part-time, mm-hmm, employment, a huge impact there. But, I mean, I've read articles now saying that now because of these labor law provisions that you may, in fact, have individuals again cut from full-time to, instead of having one full-time position, you may have a position split and firms filling with two part-timers to avoid the rules.
Well, I mean, so we've certainly seen that. I mean, at the end of the day, I mean, what we're advising our clients being, and it's good business anyway, and David will tell you this as well, just in regards to being able to make sure people are classified appropriately from the beginning, if you will. So, I mean, mm-hmm, that means being able to make sure that individuals do meet the not only the salary test,
right,
but the duties test in regards to what the Department of Labor deems as being a true exempt individual.
Mm-hmm.
That's an important exercise that most employers, and that, in fact, that all employers should be doing right now.
And there are other implications also as far as often differences in exempt, non-exempt employees in terms of accrual of vacation time, some of those other peripheral
question. No, and one of the biggest things too is being able to make sure that employers understand that if individuals who are classified as non-exempt, I mean, a lot of times people, will allow people to work from home.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, ultimately at the end of the day, if you end up seeing somebody who's who's got a BlackBerry or a smartphone and they're non-exempt and they're currently using that to work in the evenings, well, guess what? I mean, you're providing, if you will, an electronic record of an individual working. And at the end of the day, I mean, that person who, if they are indeed working, they should be compensated for that work. Employers are going to need to really be very careful in regards to how their employees are classified. That's just one of the big things that we're currently dealing with. I mean, the other thing that's going on from a labor relations perspective is that the EEOC has recently reinterpreted Title VII's prohibitions preventing sex discrimination to include prevention of discrimination based on sexual orientation or gender identity. That's a big one. You know, I mean, you know, we do have some clients in New York City. New York City, I think at last count, I think recognizes 31 different gender identity protections. I mean, it's just incredible, Dave.
An area which it really is brand new in terms of the enforcement, in terms of knowing exactly how the EEOC is going to interpret and apply those new regulations. But there's no doubt that those new EEOC regulations are potential landmines for employers.
Sure. And OSHA has actually just issued a guidance for employers on how to address transgenders and bathroom issues in the workplace. So, just when you thought it was easy to be an employer these days, you know, they're contending with all sorts of other issues, Tom.
Yes,
That's all uncharted territory. It's all uncharted territory.
Well, even to the points that you were just talking about with the BlackBerries, I know there's been quite a bit now written as far as employers banning employees from even checking email during off hours.
Mm-hmm. And you can have that rule, but it is a practical matter. If the employee checks anyhow, and sometimes you can't blame them for doing so,
right,
or they get a phone call at 7:30 at night and it's a business contact and they choose to take that call, even if there's a rule saying that they can't do that, they have performed work on behalf of the employer and they're entitled to compensation. So you can tighten up your policies and tighten up your rules, but from a functional standpoint, and it's the real, it's the function, the day-to-day, hour-to-hour, minute-to-minute function which really guides this stuff, that becomes the hardest thing to police, because you've got employees more and more working from remote locations, mm-hmm, working from home. As we identified, the electronic workplace in which we now live, we can perform our jobs without being in that traditional office or workplace setting. How do you stop employees from performing work when you don't want them to?
Right.
Because now they're eligible for overtime when previously they weren't.
And essentially, in those, the things that we're talking about, there is an electronic record of, you know, when it was done and all.
So exactly.
It's all out there. In the studio with me, Ed Kowalski has returned, Ethan Allen, Workforce Solutions, and David Wise, Mackey Butts & Wise, LLP. And so, David, your office is out in Millbrook now.
Yeah, we're out in Millbrook. Josh Mackey and Bob Butts and I recently opened the office. We're very excited about it, and things are going well for us. And, of course, we're continuing to work with folks like Ed and the fine folks over at Ethan Allen. Mm-hmm. Keep us going and keep us busy.
And David Wise, what areas of specialty is Mackey Butts & Wise involved in?
I cover primarily labor and employment, mm-hmm, some construction law as well, civil litigation. Josh handles a variety of municipal matters, land use planning, civil litigation, and Bob Butts handles a great deal of real estate, commercial and residential, as well as estate planning and probate matters.
And I think it's important to go over that once in a while, because I think lots of folks think an attorney is an attorney, but it's like, you know, there's specialties within that. And for folks to understand that, you know, seek out the services of a person with the expertise in their, you know, in a particular field.
Yeah, we have two very capable associates with us, Becky Valk and Kara Whalen. So we've got a full house out there in Millbrook.
Excellent. Mr. Kowalski.
Sir.
Take the conversation.
Well, you know, again, Tom, I mean, one of the things that have been the current common theme in terms of some of the things that we've spoken about, you know, is just the, and I really believe that 2016 is going to go down as the year of regulation. I mean, we've, you know, the Heritage Foundation the other day just released a report that, you know, during the President Obama's administration, he's released a total of 20,642 regulations during his presidency. Now, all of these are not certainly employment-related regulations, but a lot of them are. You know, we've just spoken about two, if you will. We've just spoken about the raising of the FLSA, the Fair Labor Standards Act minimum, specific to what the exempt level threshold is for compensation. We've spoken about the EEOC regulations specific to the whole transgender and gender identity issues. And then, of course, this is against the backdrop of what we're dealing with in New York State, specifically, you know, 750,000 regulations that are just absolutely, you know, crippling. And at the end of the day, you know, certainly from Dave's perspective, I mean, you know, we're dealing with a lot of this stuff in sort of an uncharted sort of manner. I mean, David, I mean, the issue is you've never dealt with gender identity issues or gender discrimination issues.
Hold that thought right there, David Wise and Kowalski. We're going to take a very quick break at 8:18 on Hudson Valley Focus Live and return in a minute and pick up the conversation on News Radio 1450 1370 WKIP.
Hudson Valley
Focus Live. Ed Kowalski, Ethan Allen, Workforce Solutions here with David Wise, Mackey Butts and Wise, LLP, labor law attorney. So to the point, you had made a reference to heritage.org, and I happen to have had a new piece that came up the other day, Red Tape Rising 2016, Obama regulations top $100 billion annually.
Yep.
This is tied directly to this atrocious labor report that came out last Friday with only 33,000 new jobs.
Yep.
So, David and Ed, as I think about this, there are a lot of folks listening, well, what's $100 billion in an economy this size? But let's add all these things up cumulatively with what we were talking about, the changes in the overtime rules, all of these other regulations, the impact of the Patient Protection Affordable Care Act on employment. Cumulatively, it is absolutely positively crippling the U.S. economy.
No question. No question.
Yeah. David?
Yeah, the numbers are not, you know, we don't know the numbers, they're estimates. And then no matter what the numbers are, you know, you stick a lot of zeros on there, and the buck is basically going to stop at one of two places, if not both. It's going to stop, number one, with the consumer.
Yes.
Because all of these increases that we're looking at and that we're talking about are increases to the cost of doing business.
Yes.
And in addition to stopping at the consumer, they're also going to affect employees, because the cost of labor is generally the greatest cost that every employer faces, and
right.
Therefore it becomes the quickest and easiest way to save some money.
Right.
So a lot of these protections which are now being put in place or designed to protect employees are probably going to cost a fair number of employees' jobs. As you mentioned before earlier, Tom, even if not directly out of work, at least splitting positions so that what formerly had been a full-time position with some benefits is now going to be split between two people on a part-time basis, because that's what becomes more affordable with
and
the employer.
And that's happening all the time now.
No question.
It was really reflected in the labor report that came out last Friday.
No question. You know, one of the things, too, that I wanted to just be able to get Dave's opinion on, one of the things that we struggle with in terms of just overreach is the National Labor Relations Board has promulgated a series of what would you call them, Dave? I wouldn't call them regulations, or would you call them edicts?
Well, there are two things. They're rulings, which have actually come down from the board with respect to day-to-day labor policies. And then number two, there are general guidance memos coming out of General Counsel's office for the National Labor Relations Board, and those bulletins and memos from General Counsel, while not the form of binding law, they certainly are going to be uniformly followed by the board unless and until a court overrules any of those recommendations.
And some of these rulings are as bizarre as telling an employer that he can't discipline an employee for taking pictures in the workplace. Is that correct?
Yeah. You know, just by way of background, the National Labor Relations Board, of course, enforces the National Labor Relations Act, which was passed back in the 1930s under the FDR administration. And really, the purpose of the act was to protect concerted activity in the workplace. Concerted activity being, I see an unsafe condition, I think that should be addressed, or I believe that there should be a wage increase for a certain class of workers. I have the right as an employee to speak up, to be heard about those issues, and retaliatory conduct cannot be taken against me. Now, historically, the act has been interpreted and implied and applied in union settings, and therefore, mm-hmm. of course, the board is usually associated with handling union matters. But the act does apply in the non-union setting as well. And what the board has done on an increasing basis is begun to look at employee handbooks and employer policies. And in a number of instances, the board has made rulings that traditional workplace rules, you cannot be insubordinate to your supervisor. Everybody would nod in agreement that, sure, that makes a lot of sense.
Right.
The board now says, well, wait a second. That rule, phrased in that way, is improper because it could be interpreted by the reasonable employee to mean that if I'm complaining about something in the workplace, I, the employee, may think that's being insubordinate. So a variety of rules which have traditionally existed in the workplace are now being struck down by the National Labor Relations Board, including the use of employer property, email systems, telephones, things which the employer used to be able to say, this is business use only.
Correct, right.
You just can't use this for personal purposes.
Right.
The board is now saying, well, wait a second. In certain instances, people should be allowed to do this. You can't have those types of rules anymore. And these rules are changing on a daily basis.
This is crazy. We got 60 seconds left, guys, believe it or not.
It's always fast time when Dave's in the studio, isn't he?
I know it.
Zips by.
It's just, but this is the thing. And again, it goes back to the conversation that I had earlier with this fellow, Brandon Muir from Reclaim New York.
Yep.
People who are involved in business in the community need to be in contact with, in this regard, really our congressional representatives, because I think Congress has really abdicated its responsibility and authority to many of these alphabet agencies to the detriment of the majority of Americans mm-hmm. and business and the economy.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah,
absolutely. That's how change is going to be effective.
Yes, yes. And I know that there are lots of folks who are hesitant to get out and get involved, but I don't see any other alternative to this.